Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. We're also brought to you by Houseboats.com, your home for houseboat rentals on Shasta Lake. Coming up from AT&T Park in San Francisco, we go into the Giants clubhouse and talk to Joe Panic, Tony Watson, and Tyler Austin. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. Now let's get to the conversation with Giants second baseman Joe Panic. Joe, it seems like you're starting to break out a little bit from what you were going through. Any adjustments that you made maybe in the last week or so?
I would say Toronto, we made a little adjustment, just tweaking some things here and there. In the setup, talking with Shu and Zoe, our hitting coaches, and ever since then, I've really started to get comfortable back again at the plate. So, unfortunately, in the season, you're going to have your ups and downs, and you never want to have in the beginning. But, I definitely feel like I'm getting out of it now, and I'm really putting together some good at-bats, and I'm really excited to kind of keep it going.
That had to be kind of strange because going into spring training, you had all the optimism. You played great in spring training. You're swinging the bat great. So what do you think happened at the beginning of the regular season?
Honestly, to me, it shows what spring training really doesn't mean much to me. The fact that, you can be going so good, and then all of a sudden, comes to a grinding halt, it just shows that, it's about what you do here. And probably what just happened, it was just, just a matter of, just being on time. It was just a timing thing. And, those things happen, in the course of a year. You kind of just get, kind of a little lost. And, it's about getting out of it. So, again, with spring training, just proves that, you just got to come out of it, feeling healthy.
I remember when I talked to you at the media day when we were talking about, not hitting too many fly balls and that kind of thing, and you were talking about, the point of contact. Is that something that you always have to try to get back to get into your groove?
Right now we're really focusing on just time. Right, for me, it's timing, getting my foot down. And if I get my foot down, be mechanically sound early in the swing, the point of contact will take care of itself. And just kind of looking at the point of contact, those results have kind of been where they need to be.
If you're not getting hits every day, you go out defensively, does that kind of motivate you even more defensively? Because, I've noticed that, the defense part of it hasn't taken a hit at all. It just seems like, if you're not having a great couple of weeks, I don't know if you take it out on the field out there.
Something I was told when I was young, it was, the bat's not going to be there every day, but your glove always can be. So it's a matter of, for me, whatever it takes to try to help this team win. And I know with the bat early on, first few weeks, I wasn't really helping much with the bat. So for me, it was, all right, let's try to make some plays in the field. And of course, it's going to, motivate you to even that much more. But like I said, for me, the glove can always show up every day.
Just the other day, you made a diving play, and that's not something I don't think that you practice so much. How much of that is instinctual, just the past experience, and maybe keeping yourself in shape to where you have the quick feet that you're going to get to the ball quick?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all those things. It's, for me, it's about, this offseason I did a lot of kind of, explosive work in the, in the weight room and whatnot. It's really about trying to maintain that, throughout spring training and then into the season. And then it goes on to just, reading the ball off the bat and getting the proper angle. A lot of times, guys, they might just miss the ball here and there on a dive. It's, sometimes it's about the angle. So right now I'm, reading the ball well off the bat.
All right. As far as the team goes, it's tough to swallow a first month like that. You guys expect a lot more out of yourselves. So how do you guys get it going, as a team, just kind of looking at some of the positives going forward?
I think, the way our pitching's been, the way our defense has been all throughout the board. They've been keeping us in a lot of games. I think, the fact that, you look around our lineup, really nobody's playing up to their potential. I think that if, we're able to, new month right now, it's May, we turn things around, all it takes is, one good series to really kind of jumpstart an offense. And, with the way our pitching and defense has been, if we can kind of kickstart our offense a little bit, like I said, new month, fresh feeling, hopefully, kind of get things rolling, then we'll be able to take off.
Was there a little extra boost winning that first game of the Dodgers series, especially the way you guys did it, coming back, the Longoria hit, after the Yankees came in here, it just seemed like a must win or, just a positive spin had to be put on this team at some point there.
Yeah, going into the Yankee series, we had a good couple games in Toronto, and then the Yankees came in, and swept us. And anytime you kind of get swept at home, it's never a good feeling. Especially we take pride in playing well in our ball in our home ballpark. But definitely, Longo's hit in that was that sixth or seventh inning. I forgot what inning it was. It was huge. And that those are the moments. Those are the kind of things we need from our offense. And it was definitely a big moment because the Dodgers. We're looking up right now in the standings, so we need to, take care of business in the division.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Good luck.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Joe Panik. Coming up, we're going to hear from Giants left-handed reliever Tony Watson right after this. If you're thinking about a fun vacation, how about renting a houseboat on beautiful Shasta Lake? That's right. Just go to houseboats.com, where they offer houseboat vacations on Shasta Lake. They also rent cabins as well as wakeboard, day cruising, fishing, pontoon, and party boats. Food and beverage service, fueling, brand name clothing, souvenirs, and a grocery store are all available at their modern marinas. Jones Valley Resort and Silverthorne Resort are the premier boating destinations on Shasta Lake, and houseboats.com will set you up there. Houseboats.com has the best service, the best boats, and the best locations. Call 877-468-7326 or go to houseboats.com today. Here's the conversation I had on Wednesday with Giants left-hander Tony Watson. Well, Tony, tell us a little bit about just the first month of the season for you guys. I know you guys have been battling and maybe not getting the record that you would like so far, but what are some of the positives that you're seeing going into the second month of the season?
Yeah, I mean, the first month you're just trying to figure out who you are as a ball club, so I think guys are settling into the season, settling into roles, settling into playing time, and, we've... battled some games. I think, even in the losses, a couple of us were talking the other day. I mean, we're still seeing the high leverage guys at the end of games. So, it's not like the games are. We're keeping them. We're in it to the end, and seeing every opposing closer is, it's not good that we're losing, but it's good that means we're in the games, and we're pitching it, playing good defense. So, that's a good recipe for winning ball games throughout the course of 162.
I heard Mark Melancon the other day talking about the camaraderie in the bullpen, and he said it was among the best that, in his career. Tell us a little bit about that. What kind of camaraderie do you guys have now that you're kind of, meshing together? There have been some guys here like yourself now that are together for a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's Mark and I spent a couple of years together in a bullpen in Pittsburgh, so we were pretty close over there. But, this group, for whatever reason, just kind of gelled right away. And on the road, we've been doing things together, and, we're a unit down here, and it's a little different here because you get to sit in the dugout and be with the whole team, so it's been a lot of fun. But it's a really close-knit group, and the only thing we're worried about is just going out there and pass the baton to each guy and get it to the next guy and ultimately get it to Smitty to close this thing out and get us a W.
It's changed a little bit in recent years as far as the bullpen being dependent upon more. I mean, more innings. It just seems like the managers are going to the bullpen earlier. How does that, change your life or just everybody in there as far as the different roles that you guys have?
Yeah, I mean, it's just the way the game's evolving and, everybody's got numbers for everything and the way lineups are constructed and, trying to put pressure on the other manager to make decisions and, but we've got a good starter rotation. We've got guys that are capable of going deep into games. But whenever the call comes, we're going to be ready to go. And we got a lot of weapons down there and a lot of guys with good arsenal of pitches to bridge the gap and, eat those innings up, get those big outs, and, hopefully win us a lot of games.
You mentioned the analytics. How much do you take stock in it? I mean, how much do you use it? I would think that there could be just mounds of information that you could go through on each hitter, but can it be too much sometimes?
Well, yeah, there's always paralysis by analysis. I mean, there's you can find, you know, go down the rabbit hole, and there's you know, numbers for numbers out there, and but you got to find what works for you, and you know what you know, listen to what they have, but also trust your gut and know from past experience facing certain hitters. And you know, Buster and Kratz have been doing a great job of putting the right fingers down and going to spots that that can limit damage. And ultimately, it's just about trying to get outs. And you know, if the numbers help us, they do. But you know, we'll go out there and just try to get our big outs.
Do you pitch differently in this ballpark? I mean, you know, it's a big contrast when you think about here and you guys are finishing this homestand and going to a place like Cincinnati where, you know, a fly ball really could be a home run. So how does that affect you on the mound?
I don't personally pitch any different. You know, I played, like you mentioned, Cincinnati. I played in the NL Central for a number of years, and, you know, you go into those places, you don't even think about it. I mean, you're just going attacking with your game plan and your pitches. And, you know, if you execute pitches and get on the spot, usually good things are going to happen. But, you know, if the glove starts moving around the zone and you're missing spots, that's when damage is going to happen. And I don't think it matters what ballpark it is. You know, these are professional hitters, and they're paid a lot of money to get, you know, hit the ball over the fence or put the balls in gap and drive runs in. So you start missing spots, bad things are going to happen.
Have you changed anything knowing that a lot of hitters are trying to hit the ball out more? I mean, there's way more home runs. There's way more strikeouts these days than there were when you first broke in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, you know, I don't think anybody cares about striking out. I think there's, you know, cut down with two strikes. I think that's, you know, you don't see a handful of guys doing that anymore. And, you know, it's all or nothing. But, yeah, as far as my pitching, I mean, I'm aware of it and kind of what's going on. But, you know, I still trust what's working for me. And if I'm not going to go out of my comfort zone just to, you know, try to attack a swing. But, you know, I do know that the launch angle revolution is upon us, and the exit velo is a big deal. So I'm aware of what's going on, and try to combat it as much as I can. But yeah, it is interesting. They've got it on the boards out here, so even on foul balls, you get to see what guys are hitting foul balls launch angle wise and exit velo. So it's a little interesting, different times for sure. But you know, you got to evolve with the game and get with the times.
Do you take a look at that when you're pitching, or maybe just when you're in the bullpen?
Not when I'm pitching. No, I don't look up there when I'm pitching, but. I do when I'm done with my outings, you know, look, because if you're, you know, the harder the contact, the harder off the barrel, no matter if it's in the air or on the ground, it's, you know, higher probability for a hit. So, yeah, I try to, you know, as a staff, I mean, I can't speak for everybody, but I assume that, you know, limiting hard contact is kind of an ideal thing here, and, you know, try to get the ball on the ground and weak contact, and, you know, the swings and misses will come.
There's a new rule on the way where pitchers coming out of the bullpen are going to have to face at least a couple of batters. So what do you think about that? I mean, are you going to have to prepare for that a little differently going into the offseason next year?
I won't prepare any differently, no. You know, I've always prided myself on trying to be not just a left-on-left guy. It's, you know, try to be a pitcher all around. I was a starter coming up to the minor leagues. So I've always prided myself on getting three outs. Didn't matter if it was lefty, righty. What part of the order it was, just go out there and attack the hitters and execute pitches. So for me personally, I don't think it'll change much.
Do you think it might be even better actually for some of the younger guys, because instead of being the guy maybe who comes up and is just going to be that one batter pitcher, you're kind of forced to do what you just said, be the guy who can get more than one hitter out?
It could also go the other way, and it's limiting guys' opportunities to, you know, there's guys that have September call-ups just strictly because they were left on left guys. And so that's kind of what I'm worried about is, you know, a guy's chance at making a major league roster or living out his dream might be dimmed a little bit because, you know, a team says he can't get a right-hander out. So we'll see how it works out. I mean, when we'll cross the bridge when it happens. But, yeah, it's, you know, all around. I mean, as a staff, you want your pitching staff to be all-around pitchers, I feel like, and be able to eat up multiple innings or eat up, you know, lefties and righties. And just adds another weapon to the bullpen. So if every guy down there is capable of doing that, I mean, I think it's going to help teams for sure.
Finish up. You've been on both sides of this rivalry. Tell us about it. I mean, from being from the Dodgers' perspective and looking at the Giants, and now being on this side of it and looking at the Dodgers and the success they've had recently, and just the intensity of the rivalry. Even, you know, just a regular season game sometimes seems to be so much more intense when these two teams get together.
Yeah, it's a great rivalry, one of the best in sports. And, you know, I don't know how many guys have been on both sides, but I, you know, it's pretty cool to say that you've been in both uniforms and been on both sides. But, You know, it's a lot more fun when you're on the winning side, and you know, and especially when we beat these guys over here. And you know, they've had a nice run. I think 6 straight division titles. So you know, hopefully we can chase them down this year and get one for us.
All right, hey, thanks a lot, Tony. Appreciate it. And good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Tony Watson. I also had a chance to talk to newcomer Tyler Austin, and here's the conversation we had on Wednesday.
Tyler, do you feel like you're, you know, now meshing with this team? You know, you've had a little bit of time now to get involved with the Giants, and do you feel like, you know, you get more comfortable being in the lineup and everything?
Yeah, I think so. I think with any move like this, it's kind of like one of those situations where, you know, you come in and you do everything you can to get comfortable right away, but it takes a while. You know, a lot of these guys have been together for a long time, so to come in the situation that I did, it's kind of it's tough at first, but I think I've gotten a lot more comfortable.
Let's talk about the defensive side. I mean, to be put out there in the outfield, I mean, you're learning as you go along. So, you know, tell us how the progress has been and how much work you've put into it.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I haven't played out there. Like I told you guys earlier when I first got over here, I haven't played there much over the last couple of years. So going back out there a little bit, it's kind of adjustment period, but we're progressing, and things are getting better.
This isn't the easiest outfield to learn in, too. I would think if you go on the road, it might seem easier just because of the wind factor here and everything. How do you judge it so far?
Yeah, it's tough. It's day games and night games have been tough. So, yeah, it's just one of those things. You try to hang with it and, you know, try not to mess it up too bad.
How about on the offensive side so far? Do you feel like, you know, you're doing pretty well? What are some of the things that you'd like to improve on as you go into month two of the season?
I think all aspects of my game at the plate. You know, I haven't felt great up there, to be honest with you. I haven't felt dialed in just yet. So as the season progresses, hopefully it continues to get better and better each day.
When you come off the bench, you know, how have you reacted to that versus, you know, getting a chance to play 2-3 games in a row? Is that, you know, the coming off the bench part of the reason, maybe, you think that, you know, it's harder to get comfortable?
Yeah, I have no idea. I feel like I'm pretty confident coming off the bench too. So, one thing's for certain, I'm not lacking confidence at the plate. That's never going to be me. I'm always a guy that's very confident up there, and always will be, no matter if I'm doing good or doing bad. So, yeah, I think it's just about getting reps and seeing pitches and getting my A swing off every time.
What do you think about San Francisco so far? The ballpark, everything, the fans, the whole vibe about it?
Yeah, it's great. You know, fans have been great. The ballpark's fantastic. A little chilly, but you know what? That's part of it. So, but I've had a good time so far.
What did you think about the organization maybe before you got here and then being able to be around these guys? Because, you know, there are several guys in here that have won World Series before and the experience that they have.
Yeah, no doubt. This team, like I said a minute ago there, a lot of guys have been together for a long time. So, you know, they know how to win. They know how to go about their business, do things the right way. And, you know, it's always fun to be a part of that.
All right, Tyler. Hey, thanks a lot. Good luck.
Thank you.
That's Tyler Austin. Want to thank him, Tony Watson, and Joe Panic for joining us from Oracle Park in San Francisco. Join us again next week. We'll have another edition of Inside China Basin. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening on thesportsvirus.com.